2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. I pray that you'll open it up to us this morning, Father. I pray that you'll enlighten the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we might grasp what it is that you have for us this day, Father God. We thank you that just like the manna in the wilderness, your word is fresh every day, Lord God. And Father, we desire a fresh taste of your word and you through your word, Lord God. We thank you that you are the bread of life, Father. And Father, we desire to draw ever closer to you, Lord, and we know that your word draws us close. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that you'll bless each and every person here today, Lord. If I leave anything out, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill in the gaps, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. If anyone is cold, feel free to turn up the heat.
Can I?
Mm-hmm. You know, it was zero when I got up this morning. I couldn't believe it.
It was chilly.
On the TV, it said with the wind index, it was 13 below.
Yeah. Wow. It's pretty difficult. Praise be to God. You know, by way of introduction, I want to remind us in Matthew 24, that Jesus informed his disciples that just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be just before his return. Amen. Wickedness was great. God could see that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. I see that all around me. Yep. You know, and I have to fight it because the world wants to encroach in on you and make you think and see things the way they do, which is just the opposite of God's way. There was great demonic activity at that time as Satan gained more and more ground, attempting to corrupt the entire human race. The sons of God commingling with the daughters of men and creating freakish giants. You know, a lot of people read that Genesis 6 as saying, well, the sons of Seth mingled with, you know, the sons of Canaan. I don't buy that. I believe it was something much more than that. And, you know, if you put together New Testament scriptures along with that, you see that there was, you know, these angels who left their first estate is what it's talking about, and they have been cast down. They're already in hell. They're already in the abyss, bound forever and ever because of what they did concerning mankind. It says that people were giving in marriage, but that implies also taking away in marriage, divorce. And we see divorces rampant today. There was universal rebellion against God. Today we see the same thing against Christianity. You know, the enemy is out to destroy every trace of Christianity in our society and culture. There was rampant immorality and atheism. Atheism is gaining great ground in our day and age. It really is. There are so many atheists. There are more and more books on atheism being published. And it's become a religion unto itself. Today we're inundated with violence, just like it was then. You know, God destroyed the entire world because of violence. That's how much he hates violence. You know, that was the major reason. I mean, there was corruption and immorality and everything else. But if you read the Genesis account, it was the violence that drew his wrath. We have street gangs here in America, rioters all over Europe, and of course that cancer of Islamic terrorism threatens every nation in the world. You talk about violence, you know. I mean, what those Marines did, yes, it was wrong. But God, I think of Daniel Pearl. They sliced his head off on camera, you know. I mean, it's just they are so violent and so full of hatred. You know, Allah was not a God of love. In fact, he's a false god to begin with. But, you know, our God, thank God, he's a God of love. Overcome evil with good, you know? Praise be to God. Much of mankind is waving its fist in God's face and thinking that they'll never face judgment for it. There's coming a day of reckoning, isn't there? And it's rapidly approaching. It's like a train, a freight train, coming right at us. And when it hits, there's going to be a whole new tune for people to sing. More and more people, especially the young, are dabbling in the occult. The flavor of the month right now is vampirism. And you see it everywhere, TV and books and movies. Vampirism. What is that about? You know, drinking other people's blood. And meanwhile, technology is rapidly moving us in the direction of the 666 buying and selling system. You know, it's interesting that India just implemented a biometric identification system for each of its 1.2 billion people. That includes not only fingerprints, but iris scans and hand scans. And you know that the next step, I mean, that's going to be very inconvenient. You know, they are big on social services there. It's a really socialistic country. And they have hordes of people coming in, you know, for whatever they give there, food stamps or whatever. And you know they're going to want something more convenient. And what more convenient than something under the skin that you can just scan, okay, you're okay, next, scan, you're okay. You know what the next step is. It's going to be the 666. Something embedded in the hand or the forehead, as it says in Revelation 13. Why the forehead? Because not everybody has a right hand. Everybody, as far as I know, has a head. Praise be to God. You know, the entire world is being gradually yet rapidly prepared for Antichrist and the one world government. The Pope just called for a one world government and currency to solve all the world's financial problems. That's why everything is going haywire in the financial world. It's leading towards that one giant step. Well, why don't we unite together? And, you know, we can overcome these economic difficulties if we join forces. You know, I've noted it before, but I'll repeat it here, that in the Hebrew, the numerical equivalent for WWW is 666. The World Wide Web that will someday, soon, ensnare everybody. Every time I type in www, I'm thinking of that. You know, when I want to call up a new website. By the way, I found a really, really good website recently. It's called GodSaidManSaid.com. And it's really good. It's King James, you know, all the way. And they answer questions just totally based on the Bible, nothing else. Scripture. Scripture upon scripture. GodSaidManSaid.com. But just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and preached righteousness for about 100 years before the flood came, you know, before the flood, they'd never even experienced rain on the earth. So God has a remnant of the righteous in what could very well be this last generation. We are among the righteous remnant. Bob was talking about righteousness today. We know what's right, don't we? Not only in the moral world, but in the spiritual world as well. There's only one path to righteousness, and it goes through the door, Jesus Christ. Amen. But it's up to us as part of that righteous remnant to not only preach the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, but make sure we ourselves are not deceived in the meantime by the devil. Amen. Remember, Jesus warned that even the elect could be deceived. And we're seeing, again, Bob mentioned it today, so many so-called Christians are falling away. You know, what scripture came to mind immediately when you were talking about that was in Thessalonians. I forget if it was first or second, but God said he will send strong delusion upon those who refuse the love of the truth. And I thank God we love the truth here.
Amen.
And that truth is all in here. If it's not in here, I'm not interested.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So he is sending strong delusion. And even the so-called elect are being deceived. Wholesale. I mean, people that I grew up, you know, learning the Christian faith from, watching on TBN and all this, so many of them have gone by the wayside and fallen into false teachings and all kinds of nonsense, you know. Praise be to God. You know, it's beginning to rain. That's what I see in the Spirit. It's beginning to rain. And we need to make sure we are safely ensconced in the ark of safety. And that ark, of course, was a type of Jesus Christ. We need to be in Christ at all times. Now, getting back to the opening scriptures, you know, we're not to fear the devil, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But we have to respect his power to deceive, to tempt, to hinder, to thwart God's purposes in our lives, as he's attempted to do throughout all history, from the garden right up to the present. You know, I was thinking in terms of the environment that is conducive for the enemy to get footholds and strongholds in people's lives. And I was thinking of, went all the way back years and years, decades ago, I have to say now, instead of years, back to my high school biology class, you know. And, you know, we do all these experiments. We had to have partners, you know. And don't tell Lucille, but I had a crush on my partner, Karen Mount. But, you know, we had to do this thing with Petri dishes, you know, where you put agar in there. It's like something that you can add microbes to, and you can see the bacteria grow and all this other stuff. And I was thinking of the medium. That was a medium for growth of bacteria. But what medium is there in our lives, or can there be in our lives, that causes Satan to be able to get in there and get a toehold? You know, once he gets his foot in the door, you know, you got to really fight to get it out of there and slam that door in his face. You know, those bacteria wouldn't grow without the proper medium to nurture them. And God knows there's enough bacteria in the world naturally, but man continues to produce more for experimentation. And he's producing, you know, man, the scientists are producing the most horrific stuff you can imagine. They're putting together things that if it was ever unleashed on the world, you know, you talk about pestilence, forget about it. And if that ever falls in the hands of terrorists, you know, God help us. But just as it takes our active involvement or carelessness to give the devil place in our lives, we can give him a medium whereby he can grow and expand his influence upon us. But we're not ignorant of his devices, as the scripture says. Amen?
Amen.
When we got saved, we received both Holy Ghost discernment and the Word. And those two together are enough to keep the enemy at bay. As long as we're willing to exercise them, we can grow careless, can't we? You know, remember God had Jeremiah chastise the people for forgetting him and neglecting him days without number. We can get guilty of the same thing, can't we? Neglecting the Lord days without number. And then, oh, gee, you know, I should, you know, toe the line and get back and, you know, repent and get into that right place with the Lord again. And then before you know it, we're drifting off once more. I just have so much respect, even though I don't have respect anymore for the Methodist Church, for John Wesley, its founder. That guy was in prayer for 4 hours every morning before he started his day. And they used to ask him, how do you have time for that much? He says, how can I not? And then God would order his day. And he just did so much for the Lord. He won so many people to Christ. You know, he'd go down to the waterfront where these longshoremen were and everything. Rough, you know, what is that, Walt?
Baser sort?
Yeah, something people of the baser sort. What is that phrase?
Fellows of the baser sort.
What is it?
Lewd fellows of the baser sort.
That's it. And they would throw stones at him, they'd punch him, they'd do all manner of things, but he would give them the gospel, you know. He just persisted and persisted.
Coal miners, too.
Yep.
The same thing with them.
Yep. Yep. True man of God. So, what are his devices? He wants to sift us. He wants to, like the tares, choke out the word. He wants to scare us by roaring like a lion. And he can come disguised as an angel of light. To deceive and snare. What media, as with the agar in the natural, gives the devil place? We're instructed by Paul in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any place whatsoever in our lives. Paul mentions specifically in those scriptures unforgiveness and the desire for revenge. Context is that very thing when God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You know, think of the worst thing you can do to your worst enemy, and it's nothing compared to what God can do. We were talking about that. We don't know, you know, what hell consists of, but we know that it's separation from God. Yes. And I know I've shared, you know, forgive me for repeating myself, but there are new people, and but God gave me a taste of that separation. One day I lay down to take a nap. We were over in Calicoon meeting at above Ron's Collision, if you recall. You know, one of the things you said you like about the church, what I like about the church is we have persevered, you know, regardless. We've had to meet in some pretty strange places. Trina got saved in a garage.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. But, you know, we are persistent. And I was lying down to take a nap, and all of a sudden, God, he spoke to me, he warned me first. I'm going to give you a sample of what it's like to be separated from me. And he did. And I went into this place. You know, I didn't go down to hell or I didn't go to heaven or anything like that. But I just felt him separating himself from me for a period of time. And it was the worst thing. I would rather be burnt with a hot poker than experience that sense of despair and hopelessness that comes with separation from God. God is everything good. He's light, and he's love, and he's joy, and he's peace, and separation from that, you experience just the opposite. But it was the utter sense of hopelessness that was just unbearable. And then God eased it up, and he came back with his presence. And he says, I want you to recall this experience so that when you talk to people about hell, you don't necessarily have to be talking about fire and brimstone and everything else, but it's the separation from me that is the most horrible thing that people can experience. And I want you to share that with other people, which I've attempted to do. When we seek revenge, we're standing in the place of God, aren't we? Because he says all judgment is put into his son's hands. You and I have no place when it comes to judgment. Matthew 16:23, Jesus said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus had to go to the cross, and he knew he had to go to the cross, and he knew that was the only way of redeeming mankind. And then he told his followers, now take up your cross and follow me. Satan says, lay it down and follow me. Peter said, Lord, oh, you don't have to go to, you don't have to die. Yes, he did. You know, that's Satan's lie, that Jesus didn't die. That's the Islam belief. Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He was just a prophet. He was taken down. He swooned. And they laid him in the grave. And, you know, he didn't die for our sins. And, of course, we know better than that. You know, the lines are clearly drawn. Jesus said, whoever is not with him is against him. And when we choose to set down the cup that the Lord gives us to drink and instead go with human reasoning, we open the door to the enemy.
Amen.
Thirdly, in Ephesians 2:2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who's that?
Satan.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, partaking of the spirit of this age, which is what it's talking about when it talks about the course of this world. All that defies, dishonors, and disobeys God. Being a part of the world system instead of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And of course, disobedience to God's expressed and known will. When we do that, we're stranding ourselves out here someplace, you know. We're swinging in the wind.
Yeah.
Until we get back into God's perfect will and continue on that course. Fourth, Mark 4:15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Since unbelievers won't receive the word, Satan diverts their attention from it so that they can't accept it and they soon forget it. You know, I've shared the gospel with any number of people who never made a commitment, you know, just went in one ear, out the other, and they went on their way. You know, we have to be like David. Hide the word in our hearts that we sin not. Psalm 119:11. And hide means not only to conceal, but also to treasure and cherish. We need to treasure and cherish the words.
Amen.
That's God has sown in our hearts by the Holy Ghost whom he has given us. We can't be wayside hearers. You know? You can sit. I've sat in a number of services where a message is preached and my mind isn't quite there and it's drifting and I'm thinking of other things and I'm just sitting by the wayside. And that word is going right past me and I'm not latching onto it and drawing it in where it needs to be. You know, Bartimaeus sat on the highway side till he decided to take hold of the living word. And when he did, he was healed. We're to be right in the thick of the anointed word, treasuring it in our hearts. Let Satan come and divert our attention from it into his words and ways, which sound good sometimes on the surface. But underneath, there is that cancer of falsehood. You know, we've heard the phrase, just say no to drugs. Everyone needs to just say yes to the word.
Amen.
Rather than harden our hearts. Next, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, Paul says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover, or that means actually awaken themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The servant of the Lord should so deal with erring men that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, as you and I did. They have been taken captive by him to do his will, and as it were, been bewitched or intoxicated by his lure. You know, he can make things look very good. You know, sin wouldn't be tempting if it wasn't enjoyable in some sense. Every sin has some, you know, at least temporary sense of enjoyment, or else it wouldn't be tempting. You know, sometimes it's as simple as admitting we're wrong rather than arguing something with someone. You know, I don't get into those arguments anymore. You know, trying to convince people, well, how do you know there's a God? And how do you, you know, I can give them a little bit and I say, if you want to study further, you want to hear more, you know, I'll be glad to share it. But most of the time, they don't want to hear more. They have their minds set in their own way. Rather than arguing to the point of getting belligerent, you know, you can get belligerent. Why can't you see it? Why don't you open your eyes and see the truth? And, you know, even if we're sure we're right, Jack has said it a number of times, we can be right and still be wrong. Amen? Praise be to God. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Some Christians are so afraid of the devil, they try to hide from him. They don't even hear anything about the devil, or demons, or, you know, possession, or any of that stuff. But others foolishly think they can get in the lion's cage and tame him with a chair and a whip. I mean, you know, hey, we're going to stomp around here. We're going to walk 5 times around or 7 times around, just like they did at, you know, Jericho, and the walls of the enemy are going to come. All these strongholds are going to be broken. No, they're not. No, they're not. We don't have that kind of power. Yes, we can resist the devil. We're not called to tame him, but to resist him. Amen. 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 And we resist him by putting on the full armor of God, right, and keeping it on at all times. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James said. And resist means to stand against in faith and repel with the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? The Word. Amen. Praise God. But we can't expect victory unless we follow the first part of that scripture. What is it? Anybody know? Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Take submission to God. We just sang, I surrender all.
Yes.
Did we mean it?
Yes.
And is it going to have just as much impact on us tomorrow morning when we go about our business as it did when we sang it here today? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15. People who are not anointed and called of the Lord, this is talking about. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You know, I met a woman that I haven't seen in many years. I used to counsel her husband, who used to be an enforcer for a drug gang. Used to break people's legs, literally. And, you know, he got saved, and I was counseling him. But I met up with her, I don't know, a year, 2 years ago. And she calls herself apostle now. She's an apostle. Someone convinced her that she's an apostle. You know, there are people, Bill Hayman and so many others, going around anointing people as apostles. You know, there are no, Paul was the last apostle, the last real apostle. The only apostle definition in today's world in today's body of Christ is a messenger, a sent one. You know, and yes, many of us have been sent into the world. I would never call myself an apostle. You know? It's arrogant, it's foolish, and it has no meaning in today's economy, you know, today's dispensation. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. How many have you seen on TV or read about or whatever who appear as angels of light? They say the right words. They even say Jesus. But you know by the Spirit that they are false apostles. They are false teachers. And you're not to buy into their works. They're paid big money. You know, some of them have their own jets. They fly here and there and everywhere. And, you know, so many of them want things just, they're almost like movie stars who, you know, now I want flowers in my dressing room and I want this, that, and the other thing. And they're the same way, you know. And they themselves, they call themselves teachers, but they're in bondage to delusion. God has sent them strong delusion because they believe or they love not the truth. I love the truth. I really Amen. Do. Praise be to God. And that truth is right here, and I want it hidden and cherished in my heart. Amen. I love what it says in Isaiah 9:15. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. That's what they are. They're the tail. You know, those promises of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, that if we obey the Lord, you know, we'll be the head and not the tail. They're not obeying the Lord, so they're the tail. J.N. Darby once said that Satan is never more satanic than when he carries a Bible. And it's absolutely true, wow. Isn't it? You know, I can see, you know, people come in with those big Bibles and they're waving them around and, you know, and in the meantime, teaching a bunch of foolishness. They wear a suit, they use religious words, but there's no anointing there. Not the true anointing of God. Antidote, have our loins girt about with truth. Praise be to God. Another thing that is a good medium for the enemy is anger. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Anger gives the devil not just a foothold, but a base of operations. You know, there's nothing he likes better than to see a Christian who's really angry. You know, I mean, there's righteous anger. Someone blasphemes the Lord, you know, it's okay to be angry at that and to rebuke it. But to just be angry out of jealousy or resentment or vindictiveness or hatred or, you know, it's forbidden. We're not allowed that particular emotion. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I just want to point out that speaking prophetically of the coming Messiah, it says in Isaiah 59:17 that Jesus wore armor as well. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. Jesus had to wear armor. How much more do you and I need to put on that spiritual armor? Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of good stuff in Isaiah 59. I used some of it last week. 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, we don't have to go around, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know, God will put up a standard against him as long as we are submitted to the Lord. Yeah, I believe he put up a standard for Mike and Anna. That standard that nobody was going to get by, whether they had a gun or whatever. Nobody's going to get by that. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in us?
Jesus.
Jesus, and the God of the whole universe, the God of all the earth. Praise be to God. He's in us. You know, we need to bear all this in mind, that God, if God be for us, who can be against us? As the devil runs around in our day like a madman, murderer, and the liar that he is, preparing for the final act in the drama of human history. We're getting down to the curtain coming down at some point, very soon, I believe. I'll close with this. In Jeremiah 24, the prophet is shown by God two baskets of figs, one good, the other spoiled. He explains that the good figs are those Jews who will be dispersed into Babylon and other places for their own good, but would one day return to Israel and be fully restored to God's ways. The bad figs would be destroyed. And I believe there's a correlation with Jesus' parable of the fig tree in Matthew 24. 32 to 34, where he explains that just as the fig tree is coming to fruition, so when we see all the signs he gave in that chapter, you know, wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and all that other stuff, that we will know that his return is imminent. And what we're seeing is the figs, the Jews who have been dispersed around the world, are coming home to Israel in droves. Do you know how many appeals I've gotten in the mail from Jewish organizations to send, you know, X amount of dollars so that a Jew can come back from wherever they are in Eastern Europe or whatever and come back to the homeland? But they are coming back and they are bearing fruit. Many are bearing fruit for the kingdom. Jews for Jesus are all over, you know, Jerusalem. It's beginning to rain. It's really beginning to rain. Praise God. And in the meantime, we have to love not our lives unto death. We can't fear death. Can't allow it to hold us in bondage. That's a great playground for the devil right there. Oh, you're going to die. You feel that pain in your chest? It's a heart attack coming up. You know? He can plant stuff in your head, you know, especially at night when you're alone on the pillow, you know, and you let your mind drift where you shouldn't let it drift into all these negative places. He has a field day there. Get it settled once and for all. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Which rules out also the fear of living, especially in these perilous times. And we always have to remember that Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us life more abundantly. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. Help us to wield it as the sword that it is, the powerful sword, Lord. Just as when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he spoke the word to the enemy and he fled from him, at least for a season. And we need to do the same thing, Lord. We have to have that word hidden in our hearts so that we can use it whenever we need it. And Father, we need to know that is the absolute truth and that there is no falseness in it. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and we need to know that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Close with a song. You're all going to be open for prayer.
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Did I unplug something? My false nails on. Glad I discovered these are the best finger picks I've ever had. Buy them online. They just fit right on your fingers. They're still uncomfortable. It's like, you know, you see these women with gigantic fingernails at the cash register. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it. This only extends about an eighth of an inch. Just enough.
This day of coming together amongst friends that I can enjoy being with, because I know that we are of like spirit, we are of like heart, and our heart's desire is to draw ever closer to you. I thank you, Father, for that word that came earlier in the service, where you call us your friends.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. What a blessing.
Yes,
what a blessing. I don't even think we know. What a blessing. We praise you for your goodness and your mercy. We praise you, Lord, that you have given us the ability. You have given us the ability to take you to our heart.
Yes.
To take your word to our heart. To realize that we don't have to be afraid of the enemy when he tries to come in like a flood in our lives, for we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Word of God in our lives, and we have taken him into our hearts. Our hearts, we have taken him in, and even more so as the day goes on. And when you said, taste and see that the Lord is good, beginning to see what that means. And what are we to taste? Tasting the Word of God.
Yes.
What is the treasures of the Kingdom of God but none other than the Lord and the Word of God, our Lord and the Word of God. Pour out unto your children, Lord, of your Spirit. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, that we might be filled to overflowing, that others might see the glory in your children. For we love your Word. And it seems to me, my brothers and sisters can stand in witness to this or not, but it seems to me that the more I walk with you, the more I love your word.
Yes.
The more I want to spend time in your presence. The more I want to stay ever closer to you. For you are the King of righteousness. You are the one who walks in the way that we should walk, and you have called us to come and follow you. There's nothing more important in my life than to walk closer to you, to come follow you, to abide in you, to draw near unto you, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Enable us, quicken us by your Spirit, for we truly do have the treasure in these earthly vessels. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.